Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
7:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Like, I love dynasties. I know some people only love dynasties when it's their team that's the dynasty.
That's me.
That's you, I know. But I love dynasties. I think they're historic. It's something for you to look back on and say, I remember when. So, for me, I'd love to see the Chiefs three-peat. The only way I didn't want to see the Chiefs three-peat is if the Ravens made it to the AFC Championship game. Then naturally you don't want to see them three-peat. But I want to see them three-peat. I don't know the answer to the question, though. I don't know if that's good for the game.
See, I really like the Bills. Fans are making it a little bit difficult to like them this week. But I don't think I could ever pull for the Chiefs to beat anybody. Not at this point. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see any more of it. Oh, Caitlin Clark's in the box now with Taylor Swift. So we get to talk about her as well because she loves Taylor Swift, and now they've become friends. And so she's got to be in the box along with her. Put everybody else in that damn box. Yep. It's a bit much, man. It's just like it's so much with the Chiefs that it's so over the top that I'm waiting for this to end. And Rob just pointed out all that talk, all the besmirching of Pat Mahomes not having a year like he's supposed to have, hasn't thrown a pick in 12 weeks.
Yep.
Or since week 12.
Since week 11.
Week 11.
Week 11 threw two of them against the Buffalo Bills. That was it.
He's taken care of the ball since then. Oh, by the way, their wide receiving core got healthy. Their defense got healthy. Did you see Chris Jones this week? Guy's an absolute animal. Ended the game. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a tough, tough game for Buffalo to win. I'm hoping they win. I don't think they do.
They are. I don't know why they're so unlikable. Maybe just because it's so good, like the Patriots were during
their dynasty.
That's all it is, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then you feel like they get all the calls, too, and people love to throw that out.
And they said that about Brady when he was, with the Patriots.
But when you're good, you have to have a little bit of luck and things go your way to be great.
I don't hate them. I don't hate the Patriots, man. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love him.
Yeah, but you're weird.
I don't know what there is to dislike about him other than his brother.
Ugh.
But I love him. I think he's good for the game,
He's doing his little walk, his switchback, and his hands are going like this. Come here. It's time to huddle, guys. Huddle, boys. But, you're right. He's a very likable guy. There's nothing that you can say about
him.
It's almost like the whole LeBron thing where people just wanted to just bash him. And granted, since he's been a little bit more public with his political views, I understand some of those things and some of the stances he's taken. But what do you expect? That's a guy that has pressure on him to speak up about certain issues. But anyway, people drag him.
I don't understand hating people because of their political views. I don't get that. We could disagree about politics. It's okay. You have a political view I disagree with? Okay. All right. Then we just don't have the same political views. In the end, we want the same thing. We just have different means of getting there. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Would a Chiefs three-peat be good for the game, Mike, in Baltimore?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
All right, how you, man?
All right, man. It won't have any effect on the game at all, man. The game, the NFL is king. The NFL rules. Whether the Chiefs win, it's not going to add nothing to the NFL. I mean, it's not going to take nothing away. But it isn't going to do anything to the benefit to NFL as far as you know, making it even a greater franchise than it is. It's going to be it's a non-factor.
So it's not good for the NFL.
I'm not saying. Well, I'm just saying I think it's a standard.
I think you took the question to another level. We just said, is it good for the league? I mean, you know.
No, I don't think it's good for the league, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, just like with, in basketball or whatever, with Golden State, I mean, it was great, but, I mean, it didn't, like, really make the league shine anymore or grow anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I disagree with the Golden State thing.
It changed the game. Like, look at Steph Curry. The fact that, by the way, women and men, Steph Curry changed everything. The landscape of Barkley was correct until he was wrong that a jump shooting team's not going to win a championship. And then now everybody wants to be what? A jump shooting team.
Yeah.
3 points and dunks. Like, if you listen to the analytical people, they'll tell you the math. Jay Billis talked about it this weekend, I think, during the Kentucky game. And he's going, why do people keep saying the mid-range jump shot? Like, oh, it's not a great thing. If you look at the percentages, if you hit 40% from three, that's way better than hitting 50% from two when all adds up.
Right, that's true.
You know, and that's the part that people can't get used to, because when it's ugly like we've had with the Bulls.
Yep.
That's when you go, come on, man. But 75 missed threes?
But keep this in mind. I mean, Europeans came over here playing like that forever. It wasn't until Golden State did it, Americans, Steph Curry, that it was embraced. It wasn't embraced before.
Yeah.
Them doing the Golden State Warriors made it. Steph Curry made it sexy.
I think
he made it popular.
But I also think before him, Dirk changed it. Because there was the more of the big man shooting. Now it's not the big man just gets on the block and post up.
He changed that part.
And then the one-footed shot that everybody does now.
But everybody's shooting the three now, like the Golden State Warriors. I mean, that's just, it's the game. I hate it.
Give me an NBA team.
I freaking hate it.
Here, I'll give you a perfect one. Minnesota, right? You know Rudy Gobert shoots threes? He just doesn't do it on that team.
Right.
And I'm not saying he shoots them well, but he shoots them better than most of the cats that are at home now going, oh, man, he can't shoot. You'd be surprised at how some of these big men shoot threes and how all these things have gone on in the transition of it. Look at some. Andre Drummond started shooting threes, and that's a guy you don't even want to shoot jump shots.
And let's be honest. The Chiefs winning has been good for the game, because a lot of plays, Ed, that people are doing now on offense, they've done watching the Chiefs do it throughout this whole dynasty. You know, the shovel passes come back in vogue. You saw, what was it, Ohio State run the play last night where they set the receiver in motion, ran him hard at the quarterback, so the ball snapped. He went back the other way. It went a man-to-man defense. The guy who was following him got caught up. He's wide open.
Yeah.
That's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I just think people just don't like dynasties if it's not their team, as you said earlier. That's all this is. If the Ravens win the Super Bowl every year, I wouldn't bitch. I'd be really happy. But seeing the Chiefs, and then, you know, you get into the fan base, and then seeing all their players having every commercial imaginable on television and all that, kind of, I don't know.
It's funny. I just went back to just look at someone here. Jalen Smith, that played at Maryland, went to Mount St. Joe's. In college, in 2019, he hit 19 three-pointers. In 2020, he hit 32. He might shoot 32 threes through 10 games in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the game is evolving where bigs are now expected to do more than just plot your ass on the box and turn around and make me a layup.
What made it evolve? The team that was winning was shooting threes.
Yeah.
It changed game.
It's always been a copycat league. Look at the teams that are trying to emulate what Kansas City's been doing.
But you're not copying the losers.
Yeah. Look at the teams San Francisco was successful, although they didn't win a Super Bowl. Everybody stole all their coaches. One's in Minnesota. Everybody loves O'Connell. The other one's in Miami. I love him, and again, it hasn't worked out there.
I love O'Connell.
And you look at all these other guys. Was it Zach in Cincinnati? All these guys coming from that same coaching tree. Why? Because everybody wants to steal what you're doing.
Kim McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock, but on the other side. Anthony Santander sighs. He stays in the division with the Toronto Blue Jays. Did Baltimore make the right decision by letting him walk? Considering the price, should they have entertained keeping them? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Anthony Santander agrees to sign with the Toronto Blue Jays. When you look at this contract, we didn't know exactly what he was going to sign for. We thought about, what, $20 million a year was what we were estimating?
Mm-hmm.
And just below that, 5 years, $92.5 million. Looking at what he signed for, Jeremy, do you wish maybe the Orioles would have considered that? Is that too out of range for them?
I mean, I don't. Where does he fit in?
I'll give my opinion on it. I'm just asking yours now.
Because here's my problem. And again, I want people to understand, do I think Santander is better than what they have out there right now? Of course. Like, it's a really good player, but you have all this young talent that you're waiting to see what it becomes. Like, either trade Kierstead or play him. You know, it's what's going to happen there? Because the kid can clearly hit. We don't know if he can field. So what happens with him? You sign Tyler O'Neill and look at the, I mean, if you want to talk about it, he's got to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't think he does throughout the course of this contract, but if he does, you got him considerably less for a comparable player, which I know that's not what people want to hear. Everybody loved Tony Taters, and you should, because phenomenal player, great guy. I'm just mad that he went to Toronto, not for the fact it's a team within the division. I just think Toronto's, they're on their way down. Like, they've got to figure out what happens with Vlad and Bichette next year. Tony, he might be their best player on their roster next year.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's a good thing.
I don't think any team, I think he's an outstanding player.
Yeah.
I do. But I think if he's the best player on your teammate is about a 500 team. He's not that type of player that's the best player on your team.
Who are you talking about now?
Santander.
On Toronto's team.
He shouldn't be the best player on your team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he wasn't here. But he's one of them, and he's a fan favorite. So I'm still disappointed. Because you mentioned Kerstad and some of these other guys. To me, they're still all prospects. We know what they can possibly do. You know what he can do. We got 44 home runs.
But if you sign him, you're blocking those guys. Like, you don't get to see what they are.
Well, will eventually. I mean, there's other positions in the outfield.
Well, you have Colton Cowser out there. Right. You just signed Tyler O'Neill, who's playing center. Cedric Mullins is still here. Mm-hmm. Your DH, you brought back Ryan O'Hearn. You signed Gary Sanchez. You have a switch-hitting catcher that should come up in May that's a DH/catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Holiday, where's he playing? Is he your second baseman? You moving him to the outfield? I mean, there's all kinds of talks. There's so many. Where's Kobe Mayo playing? Yeah,
and even though they are prospects, you don't know what they can do until you give it a chance. Anthony Santander was given a chance.
Can I tell you what I would have liked if they'd have, like right now, if you sign Santander, I think that's your goal to go trade a Mountcastle and possibly a Mayo as well. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know where all these guys fit.
And I don't know if I want to trade those guys and keep Santander. I don't know if I'm
at his age. I mean, that's the big problem, and I totally understand it from people. I'm not telling you Kobe Mayo and Kierstead are better than those guys. You have them under control for 5 years or longer. You want to find out what you have in these guys that you drafted in the first round, and if you don't, you might as well just trade them if you're not going to let them play.
I love Anthony Santander. I do. But let's stop for a second. Let's look at who he is. He's a .307 on-base percentage guy. He's a .776 career OPS guy. That's who he is. He spent more of his career being that than anything else. In fact, last year, his best year offensively, he was only a .308 on base percentage guy. That's who he is. Do I want to invest 5 years in the 30-year-old version of that? I don't.
But if I'm like, let's say, okay, let's go back 3 or 4 years ago before these guys. If he comes up in that situation, well, they're still in a rebuild, but bear with me here. I'm saying, yes, I do want to sign that guy, and I'm fine with it. The problem that I see with it now is that you have all this other similar talent that we want to see what their ceiling is. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Toronto. What I think is going to happen with them is he's going to end up becoming your best hitter in your lineup next year if Vlad and Bichette walk, which seems very likely. Our team's going to even pitch to him with that lineup. I mean, that lineup is trash right now.
Yeah.
With those guys in it. So, we'll see. I think they're just relying on too many questionable guys, and then the Blue Jays have the old idea that the Orioles did. Just throw money at it and it'll fix it until it doesn't.
Let's go to Rosedale and get Corey. What's up, Corey?
How you doing? The Orioles have been quite frustrating to me. I mean, I don't necessarily mind losing Santander. I think the issue for me is I don't think they're better than they were last year. I think going from Santander to O'Neill makes the team worse. But I think the outfielder they need it, and I agree, they need to condense this outfield. You have too many guys. Kerstad is clearly a good hitter. He could be your DH or right fielder in that short right field. But the guy that you need to upgrade from is Cedric Mullins. And I hate to say it, everybody loves Cedric Mullins, but we've been waiting for him to really break out for, I feel like, two years now.
He was arguably the best hitter the last 2 months of the season. So,
and Corey, I mean, I don't know what part of O'Neill that you think is worse than Santander. I mean, a better glove. The guy won 2 gold gloves. On-base percentage is considerably higher. OPS is higher. What part about O'Neill's game is worse than Santander's?
Availability.
Uh, availability, consistency. He's not really that great against righties. You know, where Santander, I just have more confidence against whether it was a lefty or a righty.
But that's the only thing that people are hanging their hats on.
Well, he's played over 150 games each of the last three seasons, yeah. Santander.
And again, it's also something, too, where you're looking at those types of players that play more. We don't know. I do think that he gets hurt, Tyler O'Neill. I mean, it's just what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if he doesn't? The one time he didn't get hurt, he was in the MVP race. I think the guy's a better player than people give him credit
Lefties
for.
Lefties versus righty for Santander. Against righties, he's batting .243 with a .302 on-base percentage and a .772 OPS. How is he equally as good against both lefty and righty?
And here's the other part.
That's not true.
Here's the other part.
I love Santander, but let's stop making him out to be a perennial all-star. He's not that guy.
But he even said when they brought it up about how he changed his swing hitting at Fenway, because he wants to pull against the right-handed pitchers for that wall out there. Either line it into the wall or over it. And doing that, you looked at his batting average against right-handed pitching, and there were some struggles. He crushed left-handed pitching. I think he changes his approach this year. And again, I'm not telling you he plays the whole season and he's better than Santander, but if you're going dollar, if you're looking at price point and what you got a way better deal with Tyler O'Neill than you would have with Santander, whether you believe it or not.
410-583-1057 is the number. I'm going to miss Santander. I love having him in the clubhouse, all those things. But at some point, you got to stop where your heart is and look at it in another way. I mean, I'm going to miss Santander. Seeing him in the clubhouse, talking to him in the clubhouse, his funny stories. However, I don't know if I was willing to invest 5 years, almost $100 million in him. If I'm writing that check, I don't know if I'm paying that kind of money for him. Not when it all comes down to it. That's who he is.
And again, going back to what you have here and how you're trying to build this team, they have so much cheap talent now that you got to figure something out. And I think fans really want to see like a bigger splash of bringing someone in. I just don't know that you're going to get that huge long-term deal until your own is ready, and then you offer it to them.
To your own talent? You mean young talent and stuff?
Adley, yeah. Gunner, yeah. Jackson Holiday, when those guys come up, what are you going to do with your starting pitcher? Grayson, Felix Bautista,
think you're going to hear people who are frustrated that Santander was let go. You know, we could have obviously afforded the contract. And that's fine. Not that he's super critical to the team, but who have they signed? And you watch other people signing big names. We still haven't really have any pitching. Like, what are we doing here?
But I can't sign the player because fans are restless about.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that's what you're going to hear.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think for the fans that are restless about not signing and say they're not going to the stadium, in June when they're in first place or in the race for first place with the Yankees, they'll be back. You gotta stick to your plan.
My problem is I totally understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's just that when I explain it to people, you're not going to like it. You're just not going to like it. And it to me, I understand. Like, when you have this much young talent, why are you going to go out and drop $90 million on a player that this guy maybe become in a year or two? And then you have him for three or four more years. It just, that's the game they're playing. They're built like the Rays right now. And then we have to wait to see when they start spending real money. And they did spend real money in the offseason. When you add it all up, they just didn't spend it all in one player.
Do you think the Ravens end up holding on to Monken for 2025? We'll talk about that at 7:45. But on the other side, Jeremy Kahn, we get stupid.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. Lots of small stories. How about we're going to talk about the Philadelphia mayor singing the Eagles chant. It is lovely.
That was fantastic.
Pirates had a fan fest. We'll tell you how that damn thing went. How about a basketball player for Maine hitting a big three and then telling the crowd to shh? It was made up entirely of 8-year-olds in the crowd. I'll explain why. And an elderly man who fought off a mugger with what? I'll tell you what he got away with. We'll talk about it next in the world.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Stupid.
The Big Bad Morning Show presents Jeremy Kahn in a world of stupid. 105.7 The Fam.
All right, let's start it off. Let's go to Philadelphia, born and raised.
Filthy.
On the playground, I'm sure this lady didn't spend most of her days, guys. The Philadelphia mayor. I don't know if you guys have been in a situation where you flubbed something like this.
You can't flub this, though.
Here's the Philly mayor doing the Eagles chant where they spell out Eagles.
Let me hear you all say E-L-E-S-E-S Eagles!
Hold on, how did she spell it?
E-L-G-S.
So you do want the points from my savings or from my checking, Jeremy?
She said, by the way, if you're having trouble in school, kids, I know some of you are on the way to school. The new way to spell Eagles is E-L-G-S-E-S Exus Excelsior. What is she trying? Who else did we have? Somebody else did this where they just butchered it. I know. When the Orioles had their pep rally, when they won the division and beat Detroit in that first round of the playoffs, we had that pep rally down in Canton.
Yeah.
And I was drinking so much vodka with the commie pig at the food truck. And they got me up on stage to spell Orioles, and I got into it. I spelled Orioles fine, but I ain't doing the right hand signals. I was like, how the hell did I make a...
You up there doing a robot?
What's the S? Is this an S?
And then they're doing a robot.
I was getting booed. I think Adam Jones looked at me and just went, damn, man, come on. But I ain't spelled it wrong. E-L-G-S-E. Can I buy a vowel?
It's called Excelsior. New York State model, by the way.
So silly, man. All right, how about this story? This is another fun one. The Pirates held a fan fest on Saturday, and it was an absolute disaster with fans chanting, "Sell the team," expired sodas being sold, misspelled players' names, and fans already freaking out about losing Paul Skeens. They don't have video of it, but all this stuff was transcribed. Posted it on social media if you guys want to go to @JayConSports to read all
somebody
of the
shenanigans has video of it.
We'll that went it. On. I mean, how do you feel about this? Because this is the Orioles used to be looked at this way, right? Like, you're not going out and getting anybody. We know what's going on. The farm system is a joke. Things have changed.
People already feel like they're not going to re-sign Gunnar Henderson, though.
Yeah, I know that. But that's, I mean, that's kind of the same thing with these guys and Paul Skeens. But the Pirates have showed you, hey, if you have a chance to hit a bonus because you have an at-bat, we're gonna cut you. That's what they did with Rowdy Tellez last year. Like, just scummy. And another player they did it with as well. But it's just a bad organization. And when you look at this and see, they were selling expired sodas. Like, how does that happen?
That should get them get a payday loan, man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, really. that money. Man. Bonuses, man.
It's... Guy tries to start a sell the team chant. Few people join in. This year, it felt like the whole crowd joined in, and we've all been there. All right, a couple other stories here for you. How about Maine's AJ Lopez? You got to love this. He beat the New Jersey Institute of Technology. He hit a three to put Maine up by 13, right? So after he hit the three, he looks out at the crowd, and he gives them the he shushes them. The only problem was it was Education Day. The entire gym is filled with 8-year-olds. I can't imagine you're looking into the crowd. You see all these kids. You're like, shut up, son. You see what I just did to the New Jersey Institute of Technology? I didn't know they had a basketball team. The hell is NJIT?
Oh, they've been around for a while.
I do know, but how many people know the New Jersey Institute of Technology? How many people, Rob? You follow college hoops.
I figured a lot of people would know.
How many people know there's a South Carolina Upstate? I know because I'm a degenerate, and I have bet on these teams.
I know because I don't have a life.
Well,
and I watch these teams.
I mean, it's just basketball. But again, you see some of these schools, and you're going, "Where did this school come from?"
What is their mascot? Is it the Hilltoppers?
Yeah, I think it is the Hilltoppers. No, it's a Harmon. What was it?
The South Harmon Institute of Technology.
South Harmon Institute of Technology. You guys can do the.
I did it.
Yeah, their mascot was a sandwich.
And the school newspaper was the rag.
Yeah. When they created a fake school, which is great. All right.
You know I had to do it. It's the Highlanders.
The Highlanders?
NJIT is the Highlander.
Well, AJ let them know there can be only one, and it's me, you 8-year-olds.
It's me.
How about this story before I get to the guy that fought off the elderly man? MILF porn legend Rachelle Ryan is putting America first.
Who?
Porn legend Rachelle Ryan. Okay. Come on, you know who she is.
Never heard of her.
No, you've seen her. First offering her services to the brave first responders of fighting the California wildfires. She's going to hump those fires out in no time.
Wow.
I could have said she was going to blow them out. That probably would have been better, right?
Yeah.
Damn it. Patriotic porn star who went viral for her support of Donald Trump is offering to spend the night with LA's first responders. Is that something that you would want to do if you're a first responder? Like, when do you get to go? Am I third?
That was Gail Sayers' book.
Oh, okay.
I am third. It was.
What do you guys think of this? We see this so often where porn stars, and I know they're trying to gain their attention or whatever. I don't know if she's been in the news recently, but offering their services, as I'm doing air quotes, to, hey, if Brazil wins the World Cup, I'm offering my services for you.
Services.
What do you guys think about this? Like, it's so funny when you see people offering this. Does it really happen? Does somebody take advantage of it?
Given the nature of people, probably.
Or is it just a stupid-ass publicity stunt? Rachelle, 39, has earned a reputation of being one of porn's most patriotic performers. In previous years, the bombshell has attended the Marine Corps Ball as a way of showing her support for the U.S. military. It's truly an honor being in a room filled with so many selfless patriots that fight for our freedom. God bless America and our military. I guess she is very patriotic. Lastly, this is a fun one. Now, you think about getting mugged. Nobody wants to get mugged, right?
No.
Well, this story, it does kind of have a happy ending where 84-year-old man is in a laundromat and a mugger comes in and wants his wallet. He fights him off with a pair of trousers. He's literally hitting the guy with pants and punching him, trying to get him away from him. He's swinging these pants at him. He said it was either me or him. And let me give you the still shot. He's got the, and I love the fact that it's England, so it says trousers.
He fought him off with his trousers. They were near a dustbin in Shaftesbury's.
Look at this, man. What the hell's going on? Like,
were they eating raspberries?
They were eating raspberries and blueberries. Ron Croker was drying his clothes last week when a masked thug accosted him and said, "Give me all your money. Raymond, is that you?" No, this ain't Raymond. No, that's not what happened. Coin laundromat.
They play a pickup basketball game
in South Yorkshire. Raymond, take off that damn mask. Dude, all right, man, you're going to need yourself a gun. Somebody might come up in here, man. Sorry. And this altercation caught on surveillance cameras, it appeared the two were struggling over a pair of jeans, but it was actually Croker who attacked the man with the trousers. He hit him with it and just kept until the guy ran out the laundromat. So, again, he doesn't get mugged, but good thing for an 84-year-old man standing up for himself. But
jeans could be heavy, hit you in the head like that, man.
Have you ever had a situation where someone was using a weird object as a defense mechanism? Or I know you've had probably some murder cases.
I think I killed someone with an ashtray.
You killed somebody with an ashtray?
I did not, no.
Jesus. It's crazy.
Domestic dispute, a gay couple, two guys, and one beat them to death with a big glass ashtray.
What's that game? It has two balls and it goes back and forth and you shake it.
Oh, you're talking about the, you're talking about when you let the one go and it just keeps coming back and forth?
No, it's a game together and they go back and forth.
Two balls.
Click clacks, you mean, the old game?
Maybe. Anyway, I know someone who beat somebody up with that.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
That's like having round chukka sticks, essentially. Those are called click clacks.
Okay.
Yeah. My grandmother hit my grandfather with like a pepperoni, like a log. I don't know if it was a pepperoni.
Pepperoni.
Yeah, it hit him over the head with something. But she was always doing stuff like that. She ran him over with a car. She did. It was, it's kind of funny.
When you talk about your family.
My family.
Sounds like a Theo Von story.
Did you see what happened to him at the inauguration? His chair broke and he fell back in someone else's lap.
It had to be fake.
With my family, yeah, there's so many just elevated stories where you're going, that's not true. Every single thing I tell you about my family is 100% true. Whether it's so embarrassing that you can't believe I said it, or it sounds too ridiculous to be true, it is. But we have definitely had situations where my grandmother has ran over my grandfather with her car. And then immediately my grandfather goes, she goes, "I didn't see you." He goes, "I figured it out, Sherlock Holmes. You didn't see me. You ran me over." He wasn't hurt. But she backed over him with a blazer. That's your world of
damn. Kim McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we're talking Ravens. Do you think the Ravens end up holding on to Todd Monken for the 2025 season, or will someone else scoop him up? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Yeah, man, Todd, man, he's been a great OC. Putting guys in great situations, in great positions to make plays, and it's really been fun to be a part of. So if he gets a head coaching job, that's what coaches dream of, you know? Just like players want to have high accolades and make Pro Bowls and be Hall of Famers, coaches want to be head coaches one day. And so if he gets the opportunity, I'm going to be happy for him.
That's Justice Hill, who quite frankly understands the goal in any profession. If Justice Hill, his contract runs out and the team offers him a chance to be a starting running back somewhere, is he supposed to stay so he can back up the guy in front of him, or is he supposed to go to be the starter?
Supposed to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if an offensive coordinator who wants to be a head coach gets an opportunity to go, shouldn't you be happy for him?
Yes. Seriously.
Because he got the opportunity of a lifetime. We shouldn't be moaning about how we lose our OC, because that's the NFL. Do you think Todd Monken will be the head coach for another team next year at Norris?
Yes.
You think he's gone?
Yeah. The only thing is, there's not many spots left. So I don't know if, that works in his favor. The Patriots is taken already.
That was taken before the season was over.
Yeah. The Bears is taken now.
Yep.
Right.
Ben Johnson's gone.
Right. Johnson's got it.
And it sounds like Aaron Glenn, the Jets, are not trying to let him leave. And there was somebody else linked to the Raiders as well.
Yeah. So there's not many positions left. So I don't know.
I mean, look, I think you look at what's gone on, very deserving to get a look and to get an invite. It's just weird seeing some of the guys, and I know some of it's the Meet the Rooney Rule, where you hear a name, you're like, where did the...
You think Todd Bunker got an interview for the Rooney Rule?
No, I'm just saying, because there's so many guys that are getting these interviews, and I haven't heard a ton about... I know Munkin's interviewed for a couple, but you haven't heard a ton about it, because all of a sudden you're like, hey, the quarterback coach at New Jersey Institute of Technology is interviewing for the Jets gig.
The Highlanders?
Yeah, the Highlanders. It's like, what are we... Really? This is what you guys are doing? And then I heard today the Jets don't want Aaron Glenn to leave the building, so they're going to... And I think that's the job he wants.
You think he wants the Jets job?
Ironically, yes.
He's the guy?
Yeah.
What interview did he turn down?
The...
Patriots, yeah. I mean, yeah,
I mean, Aaron Glenn spent most of his career with the Jets. He spent some time in Houston, and he did the cup of coffee down the stretch, Dallas, Jacksonville, New Orleans, before you get out. But he was primarily a Jets player, so it doesn't surprise me that's where he wants to go.
It's just weird that I remember these guys as players now.
He was good.
I mean, I remember Aaron Glenn like as a rookie, man. I mean, that's the first round draft pick, yeah. He was. What college did he come out of? You remember?
Aaron Glenn. I mean, I have it right here in front of me, so it would be
remember?
Fair.
Remember?
I don't remember. No, it doesn't.
I got to tell you something, too, Ed.
It doesn't have it here. Hold on.
Put a needle in that one. You doesn't have it?
Oh, here it is. Yeah, Joe just told me. New Jersey Institute of Technology. Wow, they're in the news a lot today.
Texas A&M. He's from Humble, Texas. He went to Texas A&M.
I got it right here. He went to Texas A&M. He's from Humble, Texas, Joe. Got it right about the same time of you or slightly before you.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Jeremy, do you think Todd Monken will be the Ravens offensive coordinator next year?
I'm going to say yes, just because there's not a lot of jobs open. I'm just wondering who goes to the Raiders.
Who goes to the Cowboys? How come we haven't talked about that?
We haven't, actually, no. Yeah.
Who goes to the Cowboys?
Where's Mike McCarthy going? Is somebody picking him up?
Deion Sanders, is he the only one who may want that job? I mean, who was the dude?
Does he want that job?
I got news for you. I know this is going to sound, somebody may hit me. There's a job that I take before the Cowboys. The Jets. I'd take the Jets job before the Cowboys. I would.
If you get with ownership and they give you time to find your quarterback, then yes, I'm listening to you.
The New York media is not afraid of Woody Johnson. The Dallas media is afraid of Jerry Jones. I was capable of doing my job, the New York media would call Woody Johnson out.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas media do that.
I think they call Jerry Jones out a lot. I just don't think it matters. I don't think it holds as much weight as some of the other things are going. Because they had the argument this year with him.
One guy. I'm talking about the writers, the newspapers.
Fair enough.
No, the writers would beat Woody Johnson up. They don't do that in Dallas. I think Dallas is I know Kellen Moore has been named. Robert Saleh, his name has been mentioned, thrown around. Well, and Deion Sanders.
The 49ers have said they'll make Robert Saleh the highest paid defensive coordinator if he comes back home.
I think he should take that.
I do too. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think it was I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. I don't know if he'll be a good head coach, but I don't think the time with the Jets should really tell the story of what type of coach Saleh is going to be just because of, some of the things that went on there. I mean, you were thrown Aaron Rodgers here, and it was supposed to be a gift that put you over the top, and it didn't happen. If anything, it buried you.
Yeah, probably cost him his job.
Have you guys seen this video? Did Rashawn send you this video from Buffalo?
About the guy getting hit in the face with a shovel?
The Bills fans throwing snowballs at him. No. It's right here. They're throwing snowballs at him. The video of it.
Good. No, I mean, that's just... But again, like some of our guys that are, if you want to call them influencers on social media.
Influencers?
Yeah. That's what they're, people are trying to be influencers on social media. Oh, yeah. It's Instagram, X, whatever, that record these videos. Rashawn does a lot of that. But you're also trying to get engagement, so I'm sure he's talking some smack to those guys. He said something going by.
An influencer?
Me, no. I ain't influencing anything. You know what I'm influencing? How many edibles I'm taking in my bedroom when I get home. That's what I influence.
Yeah. Good for you.
I influence people in gambling.
Good for you.
But that's probably, I'm probably a bad influence.
I influence. Hey, and so I went to a bagel shop the other day. Me and Robbie went to a bagel shop. And I was thoroughly entertained for about 8 minutes. Because the lady and her husband and her kids were engaged in a conversation. Well, the lady was doing all the talking. And she sounded just like... the kid's mom from A Bronx Tale. Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, my God. The sound of her voice, the accent. I was sitting there just, I was dying laughing. And you know what I did Sunday? Robbie and I did Sunday? One of the parents convinced me to go to a...
musical.
No, what kind of church was it?
Dutch Reform.
No.
Latter-day Saints.
No. Like, not Amish, but... anyway, the whole service...
Mennonites?
The whole service was silence. Silence for an hour.
Really?
Yes.
Nobody talked?
I'm going to find her text. She invited me. I'm like...
Can you watch? Can you just watch your phone then? Or do you just
sit there? No, it's like you got to sit there in meditation, man. Quaker.
Oh, really?
Went to a Quaker church.
They got the best oatmeal.
They didn't serve it.
The Quakers.
They didn't serve it. Dude, well, look, like every now and then somebody will stand up, go to the microphone and speak. They were saying things like, I'm like, I don't understand what you just said. I don't.
Did you just say hallelujah or amen?
Nobody's like, does. Not that kind of, no. You don't get feedback. It's just, you're there in silence. I mean, I got to be honest with you. The first 30 minutes, you know, I sat there and I meditated and I was quiet. And then after 30 minutes, you know me, I'm like, all right, now I'm looking at, where's the clock? Is this hour up?
You'd hear my ass snoring.
Well.
You can't close my eyes that long.
Well, Robbie, in typical Robbie form, at one point got the giggles. He got the giggles. Like, Robbie, no. And Robbie, you can't do that. That's the picture you saw outside the church when he was chasing the birds.
Yeah,
that's.
You said he's always done that since he was a kid.
Since he was four, man. Yeah. We lived over in Woodlawn. We used to go to that little park that had the water. He would chase the ducks. He's been chasing birds, man. He was on the street. He looked at the birds. I said, "Go ahead." Just start chasing them.
You know what, Rob? I think it's a good idea. I think we should go silent for an hour of our show. Let's do it for the 9 o'clock hour. And just
I don't think that's a good idea. What's trending at 8:45? Talking about the national championship, but on the other side, Kim McCusick, Film Study Baltimore, joins us to wrap it up on The Fan.